song this morning? If not, Psalms chapter 103, if you'll turn there just a moment. Now, some of what I'm going to cover, I covered a while back in a Sunday school class, but I'm just going to touch on a couple of things somewhere in the message, hopefully, in that. But I want to begin reading, if you would, Psalms 103, verse number 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, and do his commandments, hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye of his host, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now notice he's talking about the dominion of God. Turn if you would to Daniel chapter number 4. Daniel chapter number 4. In Daniel chapter number 4 and verse 34, the Bible says, And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. My understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And of course, those of you who know the story knows that Nebuchadnezzar got thinking too much of himself. He was king of Babylon, Daniel chapter 4. And he got thinking that he conquered the whole world. He got thinking that by his own ability and power and strength, he conquered the world. Well, God made him into like an animal. He ate for 7 years grass of the field. He dew fell upon his back. Fingernails grew. A hair grew like feathers and so forth. And so he was like an animal. After 7 years, he come back, he had a different attitude, that God had dominion over all things. In verse 35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? In other words, he says, what God is going to do, nobody can stop. He is in charge, and you can't stop what he's doing. And what he's planned. Look on over, if you would, in chapter 7 of Daniel. Then I'll bring about a truth or two. In Daniel chapter 7, the Bible says in verse 13, Daniel saw visions, and he saw visions of how the world would go, and how that God would come and eventually set up a kingdom. In verse 13, he says this, speaking of the kingdom of Jesus, that he'll set. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. There was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all, that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. And of course, the Bible says when Daniel saw all these visions, in verse 15, he was troubled, and on down he was given interpretation. Now, after he was given interpretation of the other beast, in verse 25, he said, and he spake, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, talking about the Antichrist, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, and times and the dividing of a time. In other words, that's representing 3.5 years. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Now, let me share with you just a few moments, because in the early history writings of the church, you saw very little about prophecy. And then once you had the Reformation, and Reformation is where several different people was coming out of the Catholic Church and reforming and starting all these other denominations, and Lutheran and Methodists and different ones, Episcopalians and all those, Calvinists, and different ones that would come out, and they began these during the time what we call the Reformation. And very little prophecy at that time, if you read the writings, and I've got a lot of the books of the people that did that, that came out, and their writings, John Calvin and Martin Luther and different ones, I've got some of their books that they wrote. In their prophecy, they saw, because they had such a battle against the Catholic Church, they saw everything in just light of the Catholic Church. And they missed a point of some things. But when you look at this and you study this and you wonder what's happening in the world and how we sit in the world, it's very simplified if you just get it in your mind. Going back and covering prophecy really quickly in a matter of 5 minutes, God called forth him a people. He raised him up out of Abraham. Out of Abraham, he called Abraham out. He was a father of nations. And then out of his loin would come David. And of course, we know that out of Abraham came Isaac, and out of Isaac came Jacob, and Jacob Joseph, and on down. And of course, we know that God carried a lineage down through, and where Joseph, his two sons got to share in his share. Judah was the one in which the line would continue through, that was of the 12 tribes of Israel. And through Judah would come out David eventually. And out of David would come eventually Joseph and Mary, which would come Jesus. And of course, therefore, they called Jesus the son of David, because he was the Messiah. Now, if you'll get this in your mind a little bit, it will help you. God raised up his people, and Israel began to rebel against God. And they disobeyed God in several things, and God took the dominion away from Israel and caused them to be captive. And at the time, it began what we call the time of the Gentiles. The time of the Gentiles is where Israel is not the prominent nation, but the Gentile nations are. And the Bible prophesied through Daniel and prophesied through Revelation that there would be four world empires. And when you study it, Nebuchadnezzar was the first one, Babylon. He took Israel underneath, and Israel was their captive. And so God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to oversee, and by the way, he's right there where Iraq and all that is today, and that's where he came from, and that's where he ruled the world empire. And so here you had him over the world, and then God raised up another one that he prophesied, two countries that would take over and rule the world in a joint way, which was the Medes and Persians. Then from the Medes and Persians would come another one that would move so quickly. He would be of Greece. He's a person we know as Alexander the Great. Now, in Medes and Persia, it was Darius and Cyrus. And, of course, Nebuchadnezzar was over Babylon. And then from Greece, of course, the Bible pictured Greece, when it would go through and conquer the world, that it would do it with such lightning speed. Therefore, the animal that represented Greece in the book of Daniel was a leopard, because it moved so quickly and swiftly. And of course, any of you that read the history of Alexander the Great knew that at a young age, in his 30s, he died a drunkard because he was so sad because he had no more worlds to conquer. He conquered them so fast. And then we know that the Romans then was prophesied to take it away from the Greeks. And the Romans were in charge during the time of Jesus' birth and so forth. Now, it's important to understand that what God did was, when he made Adam and Eve, he wanted a paradise here. In God's foreknowledge, he knew that Adam and Eve would sin. And so therefore, he knew that Satan would be the prince of the power of the air. He knew that he would have a kingdom here. But yet God still reigns over the kingdom of Satan. God's kingdom is still to come. It has been prophesied all through the Bible that there's coming a time when the Son of David, which is Jesus, will come to this earth and literally set up a kingdom. Amen. Now there's a lot of people and a lot of denominations that try to spiritualize that and say it's not going to happen. But the Bible prophesies and tells us how it will be upon this earth as we live, this earth right here, when Jesus comes back. When the time of the Gentiles is expired, Jesus is coming back. Now, this is what's going to happen, and I want you to understand. Daniel was given the prophecy, and so was John, of seeing these four world conquerors. But Daniel saw that the fourth one, the Roman Empire, would die down, then come back to life at the end. The thing that we call the Antichrist would be rise during that time. It would be a time that the whole purpose of it was to come and persecute Israel. Now, during the time that we're talking about, what's going to happen is this, and stay with me, I hope I don't confuse you, because it's a lot to cover in just a moment. As these four empires have come and gone, the Roman Empire is going to revive itself, and it is reviving as we speak. Jesus has prophesied that he has set aside a church age. The reason why he did that was this. When Jesus came unto his own received him not. He came to the Jews, and that's why when you see scripture where he says, I came to give bread to the children of Israel, and when he was withholding something from the woman, the Syrophoenician woman, because she was not a Jew, And he talked about the dogs, and people don't understand what he was talking about. But he came for Israel. And of course, John the Baptist come preaching that, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then Jesus come, and he began a message the same way. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is at hand. And yet, as a priest to Israel, and as a preacher to the Jewish people did not want Jesus and did not believe him to be the Messiah. So they rejected him. And it come a point, when you read in the book of Matthew, it come a point in chapter 12 where they had rejected him and they had committed what the Bible calls in Matthew chapter 12, what we call the unpardonable sin. It was a sin in which they would not be forgiven for in this life or the life to come. A lot of people think that we can commit that. Israel committed that. Israel committed that in the point of the Pharisees and so forth, the religious leaders. They committed it because what they did was they had evidence that Jesus was truly Son of God. But yet what they did was they contributed his works because they didn't want to lose their standing and their position. They contributed his works to the works of Satan. And even though they knew better, that's why Nicodemus, that was a Pharisee, came unto him at night in John chapter 3 and said, Master, we know that thou art sent from God, because no man can do the things that thou doest except he be sent of God. In other words, they knew that he was a godly man, but they claimed that he was of Satan. And they claimed he was a kingdom of Satan, Beelzebub. In chapter 12 of Matthew. Then if you look at chapter 12, Jesus departs from the Jews. And he sends forth and he's going to reach out to the Gentiles. And what happens is that during that time is a time in which we're living that God made this thing called a church. And when Jesus was here, he was going to turn from Israel, the kingdom, establish his kingdom, and he was going to call out a church. The church age is described in chapter 2 and 3 of Revelation through the seven churches of Asia. It began when Jesus was upon the earth. It will end when he comes back in the air for us. The next event that's going to take place is what we call the rapture, the catching away. It's going to take place at the end of the church age. Then when we are taken away, we have been given the commission, the church, of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We go through all the world and we preach that Jesus had died, was buried, and resurrected. But the Bible, if you read Matthew chapter 24, the Bible says that when we leave, the church is called out, then God's going to, what he's going to do, according to Revelation 7:14, is he is going to ordain 144,000 Jews, 12,000 of the 12 tribes that's listed in Revelation. And they are going to go about preaching. But they're going to go into the whole world preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We have been given the responsibility of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, of his death, burial, and his resurrection. They're going to be preaching that the kingdom of God is fixing to come. The same thing that John the Baptist started, the same thing that Jesus preached, the same thing that the disciples began to preach. And then eventually, Jesus washed his hands and left Israel desolate. And he turned, and whosoever will, let him come. Everybody that is saved right now, you're saved by the preaching of the gospel. And to do that, you become part of the kingdom of God. This age of Christianity is exemplified in Matthew chapter 13 by seven parables. First time parables are ever used. And those parables are representing the age of Christianity. And then what happens is at the conclusion of that, Israel's got to go through and suffer all the things during the tribulation time. The last half of tribulation is going to be extremely hard upon Israel. But it's because Israel rejected Jesus and the Lord way back then. And so therefore they've got to go through this suffering to bring them back to the place where they will serve Jesus and they will be used as the dominant kingdom and dominant nation on the earth. There's coming a time when Israel will be the dominant nation upon all the face of the earth. When Jesus sets his kingdom up, the Bible tells us all through the Old Testament that when he does that, he's going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years. He's going to walk once again upon this earth. He's going to reign on this earth. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that people that are lame and crippled and blind are going to make a passage to Jerusalem. And he's going to heal them, just as he did when he was on the earth before. He's going to be able to do, and he's going to declare the government. He's going to run the government. And the Bible says that there'll not be any welfare programs. Every family will be given a portion of ground to raise and to grow things and to work. And everybody's got to work under his system. We have corrupted this system and we look out and we say, what's this world coming to? Well, the devil has destroyed so much, but that's why the whole idea of that book in Revelation, that book, when you study of Revelation, as the seals are broken and the pages are open, is God taking back the earth for Jesus to reign upon this earth once again. He's going to reign for 1,000 years. At the 1,000 years, people's going to be exposed during 1,000 years, by the way. You'll find this in Revelation chapter 20, and verse 1 through 3. Satan will be chained up for this 1,000 years. While they reign upon the earth and while Jesus reigns, Satan will not be upon the earth during that time. Amen. He will be bound and chained. At the end of the 1,000 years, he will be loosened. You'll find that on over if you read in chapter 20, verses 7 through 10. And he will go out to deceive the nations, and God will send fire out of heaven, take him, and put him in the lake of fire, and he'll be tormented forever and ever and ever. There will be a great judgment, a great white throne judgment, and all lost people will be cast into hell forever and ever and ever. Now, but Jesus will reign upon the earth. Then at the end of that great white judgment, God will make a new heaven, new earth. There will be nations that will reign upon the earth forevermore after that. There will never be no more death, no more sorrow, nothing. They will have the tree of life to furnish certain things for them upon the earth. And we will reign in that place, that holy city that Jesus gone prepared. The way the Bible describes it is that the holy city, the New Jerusalem, will set above the earth. And the light and glory of Jesus that will come off of it will light the whole earth. The water of life will come off of the city and flow upon the earth. There will be no sea upon the earth. And that holy city, the gates of pearl, the streets of gold, all those things we sing about, that is where we will spend eternity with Jesus. And we will reign with him as over these kingdoms of the earth. And all the kings of the nations of the earth will come up into this city and pay refuge unto the Lord during all that time in the new heaven, new earth. You can read all those things. Now, I said that to say this. You need to understand something about this kingdom. The kingdom is limited to who will go into it. If you are not in the kingdom, you will perish and burn and be tormented forever. There are a whole lot of people that believe that they are saved that's going to be tormented forever. The Bible teaches us some particular things about the kingdom. Now, in the book of Matthew, only in the book of Matthew is the kingdom of heaven ever mentioned. And it's mentioned 32 times. The book of Matthew deals with the Jews. And the kingdom of heaven was particularly interesting to the Jews because therefore in Matthew chapter 12, that's where the unpardonable sin was mentioned and where Israel was pushed aside. And in Matthew 13 was the parables that Jesus laid out for the kingdom of heaven. Then if you go on down in Matthew, on up in Matthew in chapter 23, again, the Pharisees, scribes are called hypocrites. And God and Jesus puts a stinging retribution on them that they will spend eternity in hell. And right after that, in chapter Matthew 24 and 25, is when he sets forth all the prophecy that so many people reads and don't fully understand in chapter 24. But the Jewish people understood it because the book of Matthew was written to the Jews. It holds up Jesus as King of the Jews. And therefore, most of the Jewish laws and traditions and customs are always dealt with in the book of Matthew. Now, I said all that to say this. Everywhere else in the New Testament and in the Gospels, it's mentioned the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of heaven represents, through the seven parables, it represents the period of church from the time of Jesus until Jesus comes back. And what will happen? Revelation does the same thing through the seven churches, starting with the church of Ephesus that had apostles until the church of Laodicea, which I believe and most of us believe we are living in the time right now. The church of Laodicea is where a lot of people belong to church, but he's going to spew them out of their mouth. They're not going to be saved. They may have memberships and all that. And so it's important that you be part of the kingdom. Now, always in all the other books, it mentions the kingdom of God. And Jesus said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what it is it's in you. And so I want to show you four things, and then I'm going to close, and I'm not going to spend time on them, but I want to show you these four things. Four things that you have to understand about this kingdom of God that we're in right now. One is, if you are going to be part of the kingdom of God, you've got to believe that it exists. Amen. A lot of people don't believe Jesus is coming back. He is coming back and he's reigning. First, he's going to come back and get us. And while Israel is going through the tribulation period, we're going to go through what they call the judgment seat of Christ, and we are going to be married. The church is going to be married with Jesus when Jesus comes back to put his feet upon the Mount of Olives and upon the earth and to reign upon the earth. We will be with him and we will reign with him. His bride will be with him. That's why you see even in the Old Testament that they see when he comes back, he's got his saints with him. And in Psalms chapter 103, he talked about his dominion, his saints being with him. The reason why is that nothing's going to stop this from happening. You may say, well, preacher, I don't believe this, I don't buy this, I don't, but you cannot stop the word of God. Nebuchadnezzar, he looked, he said, I can't stay it. No man can stay it. Daniel said, nobody can stop this. What God has declared is going to happen is going to happen. And so during this time, what's going to happen, and by the way, a lot of people, I know a lot of Christians a lot of times, or people say they're saved, they get all tore up about the Antichrist, Mark of the Beast, and all that. If you're really saved, that has no bearing upon you. You will be gone when all that's taking place down here. As somebody said, you believe this is the Antichrist? I don't know who the Antichrist is going to be. I just know this. He's going to be the son of prediction. He's going to be the son of Satan. And he's going to be resurrected in that way. And so, but I know this, that when he reigns, I'm going to be with Jesus. Because whether I'm in the grave, when he comes, and before the tribulation period time, the Bible says that he's going to come and those that's dead in the graves, the grave's going to burst open, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up and meet them in the air. Amen. So whether I'm living or dead, I'm going to be with Jesus. Then I'm going to go through the judgment seat. I'm going to go through the wedding. I'm going to come back. I'm going to reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, not only must you believe that the kingdom is real, but you also have to understand a couple things. Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You cannot enter into the kingdom without repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is turning from yourself and turning into God. And what it is when we come to the place that God, and tonight we're going to teach on something, and I hope you're able to make it, that will help you understand this more, because don't have time to deal with all day. But to be saved, you have to come to the place where the Holy Spirit of God convicts you and opens your heart and shows you that you're lost. You have to realize that there is nothing within yourself that you can do to be saved. You have to understand and you have to believe that Jesus is real. You have to believe that Jesus is Son of God, that he's died upon the cross of Calvary. And he died to provide a way that we might be saved. And what happens is when the Holy Spirit of God comes and his work is at this point in time, when the Word of God is being preached, to go out and to draw people to come to God. Right. He pierces you and convicts you of your sin. He convicts you that you're a sinner and he draws you to come unto Jesus. And to come unto Jesus means that you have to come to a place in your heart where you surrender to turn away from yourself, the things of the world and old Satan and everything's got a hold of you, and turn unto Jesus. That repentance, the Bible says, comes because of godly sorrow. And the Bible also says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, it is a repentance that needeth not be repented of. It happens once. And when it really happens and truly happens, it changes your life forever. And so when you have truly been saved and you really have repented, the Bible says there was a time when at man's ignorance God winked at, but now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You've got to come to a place where you must recognize and turn from yourself and turn into the gift of God that he provided through Jesus Christ. And you do that, and you must do that in faith, believing that he is what he says he is, and it is what it is. We haven't seen the kingdom. And people laugh and scoffs at the idea that Jesus is coming back and reigning upon this earth. But my friend, you better believe that it's real. The Bible says no man's going to stop it. Number two, you can't come into it except you repent. Number three, Jesus said in John chapter 3 that you must be born again. You can't come into it unless you have a new birth. And you're born again. We're going to talk tonight about regeneration. You are born again by being regenerated by the Holy Ghost of God. He changed you from the inside out.
And when you have been truly born again, it changes you forever. Doesn't make you perfect, but it changes you. It makes you a child of God. It brings you into to the kingdom of God. And unless you have been born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. It takes a new birth. Somebody said it this way, and it may be a simple way of looking at it. If you're only born once, you'll die twice. The Bible speaks of a second death. The second death is when you're cast in the lake of fire. And there you'll die forever and ever and ever. But if you're born twice, you only have to die once. And that's this natural death. And so what you need to understand is you only get to enter in to the kingdom of God by being born again. Then once you are, and the Bible says we are saved by faith through grace, or by grace through faith. And then, if you would, turn one place, and I'll close right here. But look, if you would, in Titus chapter number 2. Somebody said, well, I'm born again, so therefore I'm saved by God's grace, so therefore I can do what I want to do, live any way I want to live, be what I want to be. But the Bible says that's not what the grace of God teaches you. If that's what you're doing in your life, my friend, you've never met the grace of God. Look, if you would, in verse 11. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. In other words, what the grace of God teaches you is that you live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, right here. You don't live like the world. You don't look like the world. You don't act like the world. There is a difference in you if you've truly been born again and part of the kingdom of God. He says in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now here, the Bible teaches not only is Jesus Christ our Savior, he also teaches that Jesus Christ is God. In other words, what the Jehovah Witnesses believe, and some of them, Seventh-day Adventists and some of them, they don't believe that Jesus is God. The Bible says clearly that he is our great God and he's our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. In other words, if you've been saved, the Holy Spirit within you is teaching you and leading you to do good works. Look in verse 15. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. You say, well, preacher, I don't like that kind of preaching. Sorry. That's just the way it is. Amen. Whether I preach it or whether I don't preach it, it doesn't change it. It is what it is. Amen. And what you need to understand is that he is coming, and those of us who are part of the kingdom of God, we have one thing that we're looking for. We're looking for his glorious appearing in the air. That's what we're waiting on. We're not waiting on the beast. We're not waiting on the mark of the beast, and we're not waiting on the tribulation days, and we're not waiting on all the things that's going to happen in that, the four horsemen. We're not waiting for none of those things. We're waiting for one thing. Jesus is coming back for us. And see, because of Israel's disobedience, he has caused a dispensation of the church age. And my friend, it began back here with him and the apostles, and it's ending right here. And I can tell you this, according to the description of the church of Laodicea, we're very, very close. Brother Junior was talking about what we preached Wednesday night. My friend, many Laodicean churches are in existence today. There's no spirit. God's not there. Nothing. They don't even preach the word of God anymore. They are blind, naked. And yet you look at their buildings, you think they have need of nothing. How poor and wretched they are. Because he says, in that day, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? We not cast out devils, do many wonderful works? He'll say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And can I just throw this in before we close? A bunch of these people running around claiming to be casting out devils and doing miracles and doing all, You need to read that. You need to read that real careful. That was for the apostles. We don't live in a day of sight. We live in a day of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You say, preacher, how can I be saved? By believing what the word of God says. Today I've tried my best in a nutshell, about 15 or 20 minutes, to give you the prophecy of the whole Bible. From the time Adam and Eve sinned, God brought forth a people through named Israel from Abraham. And because of their rejection, he brought forth the time of Gentiles, of four world rulers. And during that time, he has turned away from the kingdom from Israel. And he has started a church age. And once again, when the church is taken out, then he will bring about the time for Israel once again to go into the kingdom and prepare them for that kingdom. That is God's plan. We are part of it. And regardless of when we are born, somewhere we are born in the place of that plan in the Bible. And you just happen to be living in the last days of the church age. When he's coming, I don't know. But God knows. But I do believe he's coming. The question is, are you ready? Are you saved? Are you part of the kingdom? Yes, let's stand this morning, if you would. Get a song. Maybe you're here today. You say, preacher, I didn't ask you if you had your name on the book. I didn't ask you if you've been baptized. I didn't ask you if you made... I asked you, are you born again? Have you been saved? Are you part of the kingdom? And if you have, then you need to praise God. And if you're not, you need to come, because you know not what hour he cometh. Therefore, you better be ready. We are to be preaching this. And he said, people will laugh and scoff, say, we've heard this forever. But someday, somewhere, he's going to appear. We need to be ready. How about this morning? Just as I am. At thy blood was shed.